following is a presentation of Refuge Calvary Chapel Huntington Beach with Pastor Bill Welsh. For more information about our ministry, please visit refugefamily.com.
I want to pick up tonight where we didn't get finished last week. We were in, we're starting through, I had planned to take you through another simple pattern of prayer. And that is what we call the Lord's Prayer, the Disciples' Prayer. And I think we kind of touched on it, but I want to go through it now. And the simple pattern from prayer tonight is Matthew chapter 6, verses 9 through 13. You'll find a different version in, I think it's Luke chapter 11. But let's stick with the one in Matthew chapter 6 tonight. And I'll be quick as I just kind of give you these movements of this prayer. This is really more accurately, as I said, called the Disciples' Prayer. And I think the beauty of these patterns that we find in Scripture is this. Listen carefully, and I hope you get this. I hope that this helps you as much as it helps me. That these patterns for prayer, they're not rigid formulas in any way. I mean, because God hears the childlike prayer of the little child, or if it's the childlike prayer of the adult, the simplest prayer of, oh God, I need you. Oh God, I'm a mess. He loves that. And it may not sound liturgical. It might not sound like it was written by a theologian, but he loves to hear his kids calling out to him. And you wonder, why don't we? Why do we still, we've been teaching and studying and looking at prayer now for 3.5 months. And how many of you still find, wow, this really is a challenge? Anybody but me? This really is a challenge to go deeper and establish this deep, deep down in my heart. Listen to this. It's from it's the epilogue, which is the last part of the book, obviously, on the Daniel prayer by Anne Graham Lotz. And it says this: if prayer is one of the supreme joys of life, if prayer is a throbbing heartbeat of our relationship with God, if prayer is the nearest we will be to God this side of heaven, if prayer is our compass that helps keep us on the right path, and it is all of the above, why is it so hard? She said. The answer? Because prayer is a battle, a fight. It is spiritual warfare. It's been said that the secret prayer chamber is a bloody battleground. Oswald Chambers stated, prayer is not preparation for the battle. Prayer, what? Is the battle. And it is the battle. And it's not just a cozy time with Christ. There's times when it is that. But when we move in on behalf of other people, that's a whole different story. And so tonight, I want to just look at another simple pattern for our conversation with God, and let's read it out loud together from verse 9 down to verse 13 as if we haven't done this 1,000 times. But let's read it out loud. You ready to read out loud? Not out low, but out loud. Here we go. In this manner, therefore, pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. For yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Another simple pattern for our conversation with God. Don't look at it again as some magical password, like a big long abracadabra, and the doors of heaven and the windows at the same time all just fling open. This is just a simple suggested template. You can pray it, and it's a good prayer to pray. You memorize it, and many of us, if not all of us, have memorized it. And it's not wrong to pray it, but you're going to find that you need to go further. And you need to get in detail in every section of this, in every movement of it. You're not really, in this sense, just checking boxes in this template. And neither is God. He is, as he hears us pray, he's not saying, oh, wait a minute. You didn't say that quite right. And you went to petition before you started with adoration. God is not that tense or intense when we come to him on these things. But it is a very, very workable, beautiful prayer. that Jesus laid out on purpose when he said, I want you to pray like this. And he introduces these categories. Take note of all these categories. I'm going to put them up on the screen for you. To begin with, there's our Father in heaven. That's our Abba in heaven. Here's what you're looking at here. This is personal. This is where it gets very personal because Abba means, you know this, Abba means daddy. It doesn't mean, oh, almighty God. It's true, he's almighty God. But he says, listen, he says to you when you pray, you'd better realize, and it would be so helpful if you would, and your approach to God in prayer would be different if you will know that you're coming to your Father. How many of you spoke differently to your father than you did the principal at school? How many of you spoke differently to your father than you did to the boss at work? It's probably good that you did, but when you come to Father, it's Father. He's all of that other stuff, but he's your dad. He is your daddy. He's your papa. He's your father. And so he could have used so many other names, but he said, I want you to come like this. Pray like this. Pray, Father. And I don't know why that's so hard for us to get that idea that when we come to God, though you're coming to God, almighty, sovereign, potentate. Anybody ever use the word potentate in your prayers? Remember that? It just means powerful one. It means the one in charge. But how different it would be for us if we would just realize, man, I'm coming, I'm sitting down beside my father. None of my kids tremble as they come to me. Sometimes I wish they would tremble just a little bit, but they don't tremble when they come to me. They come comfortably into my presence. The second movement in it, if you want to use it this way, is hallowed be your name. Hallowed just means one thing. It means holy. You're high and lifted up. You are the exalted one. Now we're getting to that place where Father, we begin to realize what Father is. He is the one in charge. He is the absolute holy one. This is adoration. This is worship. This is praise. This is honoring God for all that he, and even more than just he's my papa, he's my father, and I am really welcome, and I'm comfortable in his presence. I realize that the father that I come to when I come to him is not like the father my kids come to when they come to me. They've never said, oh, daddy, hallowed be your name. Not even close. But when I come to Abba, it's hallowed be your name. It's seeing God for who he really is. It means he's perfect in all of his ways. That should give you great comfort. That shouldn't chase you away. That means, and I've said this many times, that means that you are safe with him. It means he is holy, but he's safe. He's safe for you to be around. And only because of what he's done on that cross, he removed all the stuff that made it dangerous for us to approach him because of our sin. Third movement, as you move beyond our Father, my Abba in heaven, and hallowed be your name, and you're worshiping him, you're coming to him as a father, but also this holy, perfect God, and you say, your kingdom come, and your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Look at this. This is intercession. This is when you're beginning to say, and I put up a little graphic. I might even use this next week. But I took a picture yesterday morning when I was walking. I got down to, you know, that big, you know, area of the wetlands where you're looking across a big expanse of water. And then there's a thin line of, you know, I think it's the road. And then above it was clouds. What do you think the water looked like early in the morning when the sky was full of clouds? And the water was still. What do you think the water looked like? It looked like heaven. You look down, and what I looked at on earth looked like what I was looking at up in the heavens, which is this thin little stretch of dirt in between it all. And when we come to God, it's saying, God, as it is in heaven, oh, I want it to be to some degree, I want what's in heaven on earth. What's the difference between heaven and earth? Explain to me, give me some words that explain what you encounter, what you expect to encounter, I should say, when you step into heaven. Perfection, glory, peace, no what? No worry. Love, I heard love. Anything else? No pain. I don't expect any Zika virus. Did you hear that they've told the athletes in Brazil, don't put your head underwater. It's kind of hard for someone that's swimming, isn't it? I don't know if that goes for the ocean wide, but it's dangerous down here. Nothing there will hurt you. I had a friend who lived in Fiji, and I never got to visit Fiji, but he was in this traveling music team, and he said, "Oh, Pastor Bill, you must come to Fiji. You must come to Fiji." He said this, "Nothing in Fiji will hurt you." Doesn't that sound like heaven? Where nothing in heaven will hurt you. Now describe Earth for me. I know Earth has some beauty in it. There's no question that reflection in that little, you know, backwater of the estuary was beautiful. But what do we encounter on Earth that makes heaven look better than Earth? It's what's ugly about it? The sin, the pain. Yeah, the darkness. The turmoil, the deception. The lies, and I'm not talking about a political season here, although that's intense. We live in that. Breakdown between brothers and sisters. And so we're praying, Lord, as it is in heaven, we want that on earth. Well, in what way do you want that in earth? As you intercede, you're saying, God, bring the shalom that's in heaven and the grace that's in heaven, bring that here over certain situations. I'm going to give you time to pray over a bunch of situations tonight. I'm going to have them all up on the board, and you can pray, the screen. And you can pray over whatever just really grabs your attention. And there's some very serious issues that really need our prayer tonight. But when we pray, God, bring your goodness that you have in heaven, Lord, we want your goodness on earth. And again, I just got to remind you, we have not that shalom. We have not that peace. We have not those fixed relationships because we haven't asked him, maybe. Lord, this, would you please get a hold of this and change this? We're asking God to bring the peace and the balance and the grace. We're praying over all the unrest, the chaos, the violence that we see. You see that stuff in the news? Don't just say, oh, so bad, I can't wait for heaven. Pray that heaven would come to earth there for that city, for that nation, for that family that's just lost so much. Just pray for the invasion of God's goodness there. Pray over the anarchy. Pray over the election chaos. And I did mean to say that right there. But pray over pray for the balance, the peace, the righteousness, the joy, and the love of heaven to hit Huntington Beach and to hit Midway City and to hit Long Beach and to hit Seal Beach and to hit Sunset Beach and to hit Westminster and wherever you live. Did I miss your city? Shout it out if I missed your city. There, right there too. Right there. Pray for God's grace and his power. Pray for everything you need and everyone you know that has need of anything like this, of healing and provision and whatever their need is, marriages that need help, families that need help, and pray for our cities all throughout Orange County. And there's one more thing you want to pray, and that's Maranatha, which means what? Come here, Lord. Please, Lord, again, come here. And so when you pray, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven, you're praying about all of that. Now, you move on to the section that's usually what we spend the most time on in prayer, isn't it? Lord, give me bread. Give me my daily needs. And sometimes what you put in the category of need, it's really just want. It's really desire. It's sometimes even, should I say it? It's coveting. Lord, give me what he has. Not one like it. I want what he has. I want that one, Lord. I want that in my crib. I want that in my garage. I want that one. But God is concerned about. He cares about your daily need. He cares about providing everything that you need to put food in your stomach and to put to cover the shelter over your head and the clothes on your back. Now, has God given anybody beyond what you need? Let me see the hands of those. He's given you more than you need. Guess what that says? It says he loves you. You know what it might sometimes say? I'm giving you enough to package it up and hand it over to somebody else that doesn't have as much now. You begin to look at it that way. Maybe all that stuff that fills my garage and the overflowing drawers and in just about every part of my house, maybe that's supposed to be passed on to somebody else, except the books. I'm not sure about the books. I love maybe some of the books. Okay, maybe some of the books too. Let's move on to the next one. Your food and your shelter, et cetera, everything that you have need of. And then, oh my goodness, really? Seriously, Jesus? You say, forgive. Forgive us as we forgive. Forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Of course, we confess our sin to God. And of course, we want His mercy. But did you notice the qualifier here? You have. Many of you have studied this over and over. For you that are kind of new to this this thing we call the Christian life, forgive us our debts as we forgive give others. Confession in detail of my sin and my request for mercy, and then a readiness to forgive our offenders, the ones who have offended us. This is, I've said this before, this is a frightening truth. It's the only element of what we call the Lord's Prayer, let's call it the disciples' prayer, that Jesus moves into more commentary on in verses 14 and 15. For if you forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. I've preached on this a lot over the years. I want you to turn to the person next to you. I know you don't like doing this. I know some of you don't mind doing it at all. But I want you to turn to the person next to you and say it to them, and then listen to them say it back to you. Just say to the people maybe on either side, you've got to forgive. You got to forgive. I got to forgive. I have to forgive. I can't choose to not forgive. I have to forgive. I want to say this like I typically do, and it's like this. I'm not totally sure in fullness what that means, that if I don't forgive, I'm not forgiven, but it doesn't sound good. That if I'm not going to forgive, I'm not forgiven. Is Jesus saying, if you don't forgive, you're going to hell? I don't know that. I don't think he means that. But it means that now, if I choose not to forgive, there's something still between me and Jesus. Do you want stuff between you and Jesus? You want some sort of a wall or a barrier or anything between you and him? So he says, forgive. So that there's that section, forgiving others while you're asking God for this and that, and okay, Lord, you've got me in this tender, soft place. I'm willing to let go now. Forgive me, Lord, and I want to ask you to, I want to let go of the people that I've been maybe holding in bondage as well, as I forgive my debtors. And then he says this, lead us not into temptation. It's asking for his guidance. I love this. I think it's acknowledging that we can all be, like I have up here on the screen, we can all be presumptuous. And we think we know which way we should go. How many of you have ever gone a direction you knew that it really looked like God had this set up, and you went and shouldn't have done that, shouldn't have gone there. And maybe it was presumption. And so we're saying, God, guide me, because I don't know as much as I should have you turn to one another and say, you don't know as much as you think you do, but no, let's not do that tonight. But none of us do. None of us know as much as we think we know. He sees the whole path. So the idea here is, Lord, I'm going to let you lead me. I'm not going to jump into the driver's seat. I'm going to let you do it. Save us, Lord, from making costly errors in judgment. Can anybody say a hearty amen from experience? Lord, save me from doing that again. Keep me from these crazy missteps. Lord, direct my steps. And then the next one is, deliver us from the evil one. Come on, somebody shout a loud amen. Amen. Lord, keep that gnarly dude out of my way and out of my business. Deliver me from the evil one. Let me tell you what I think this means. I think what he's talking about here is protecting us, protection from the devil's evil plans for our life. So Lord, give me insight. And even beyond his plans, listen to this. There's more evil ones than the devil. Did you know that? The scripture mentions evil people, wicked people. So I think he's also talking about protecting us from unreasonable and evil people. You know, I don't know where Joy got a hold of this, but years and years ago, she was encouraged to pray for your husband, to pray for me, to pray for me, that Jesus would keep me from unreasonable people. I like that prayer. I'm so thankful she's lifting me up that way. Oh, God, you know Billy Boy. You know my husband. Keep him from unreasonable people. Keep him from people that have evil schemes and evil plans. And restore us also when we fall. Lord, pick me up. Do you know anybody that's ever fallen? Yeah, you're looking at one. P- Pick me back up, Lord, when I fall. And I love the way he ends kind of as he began. Yours is the kingdom. You're turning right back to the one you're speaking to and saying, Lord, it's all you. It's all about you. Yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. What? Amen. So we're right back where we started with praise, and we're acknowledging his lordship. We're realizing the one we started with is the one we're ending with in this prayer. And Lord, I'm still in need of your wisdom and your protection and all those different. It's a wonderful rhythm in prayer. And if you set that down as a pattern for prayer, and we will in coming evenings, we'll kind of take a good long time and we'll just kind of lead you through these segments of let's take some time to just come before Abba and acknowledge his holiness, and let's move into those areas of need, and let's ask him to fill our cupboards and give us an overflow so we can share with other people, and to forgive our sins and to help us forgive those who sin. And we'll go through all of that. But you can take that home, and it's a really portable, handy way to begin to pray, where you're acknowledging his lordship, you're trusting in his awesome power, and you're making sure he gets the glory for everything that he's done. You don't want to be found as one who's stealing the glory of God. So does that sound workable? Do you see the movements and the rhythm in that? And you can tear that apart yourself, and maybe you'll see another one or two very distinct segments in that that could even divide it down a little bit further. But let me just say this. If that helps you to spend more focused time in prayer, praise God. I can't imagine not taking those. I think there were seven or eight different movements, and not having a half an hour in prayer easy with that. 3.5 minutes of praise, 3.5 minutes of interceding. You know enough people. If you gave each one of the people you know who are in need 3.5 minutes, you'd have 3.5 hours in prayer. So, and it's not just to keep you on your knees longer or to keep you in the prayer closet longer, but just to give you direction and focus and just purpose in every one of those. When Paul talks in his letters about all kinds of prayer, he's talking about these kinds of prayer, the prayers of confession and supplication and prayers of adoration and worship. So I hope that's really helpful for you. So let's take those needs to Jesus and those desires and that worship to him tonight. Now, I want to put up before you one last screen, and I'm going to have you break up into circles of three or four people, and let's just spend, it's 8:27 right now, let's give 5 minutes, okay, tonight. I wish we would have given more, but I'm glad we had that time reflecting on the Lord's sacrifice for us. I think that was healthy for us tonight. So go ahead and pray. Give some thanks, and then get right to prayer for some people. Amen. Amen. Thank you for staying after class to pray for your family, and we'll put that more into the middle of the service next week. Grace and peace to you.
This has been a presentation of Refuge Calvary Chapel Huntington Beach with Pastor Bill Welsh. For more information about our ministry, please visit refugefamily.com or call 714-891-9495.